Just from my perspective, it's nice to hear that you were able to incorporate data from other sources on this review, and I hope that that continues. Thanks. Dee? Dave, whenever you're ready.
Okay, thanks. Deirdre's going to take us through the, you know, what we have on scallops behind tab four. As you know, we've delayed actual decisions on selecting final alternatives until the October 25th meeting. This is framework 19, and the intention of it is to set specifications for the next couple of years, fishing years 2008 and 2009, keeping in mind that Amendment 11 has been submitted but not approved yet, and that would set a 5% allocation to the general category fishery ultimately, but in the at least in 2008 until the individual allocations can be calculated, we'll be looking at a quarterly quota, quarterly hard tack, where the general category would be issued or allocated 10% of the total catch. So there's a number of things changing here, and I bring all this up just to remind folks that what we're setting up in Framework 19 is just for 2 years, and in fact a lot of the components of it would just affect 2009, any pieces of it that are related to individual allocations. So and knowing that we need to get this into the service in a pretty timely fashion to have it in place by the new fishing year or very soon thereafter, I just ask people to resist the temptation to add on. I know that's hard to do, but just bear in mind the consequences of adding to the already pretty cumbersome burden that Deirdre and Deborah and all the others have to get this framework through. So with that in mind, I'll just turn it over to Deirdre.
Thank you, Dave. All the scallop materials are behind tab four. I have a short, hopefully short, PowerPoint presentation that will encompass the main documents that are in your meeting materials and also provided for the audience. And again, just to remind everybody, this is mostly just an update intended to familiarize the council with the range of alternatives in Framework 19. We're not going to get in long discussions, hopefully, about preferred options at this point. There's no analysis provided to you today. It's just to give you a better education about the different alternatives being considered and then to identify a handful of issues that are still left outstanding that need development, and we can try to tackle some of those today if possible, and I'll highlight those as I'm going through the document. The PowerPoint presentation is document number 7. And during the presentation, I'll probably be referring to document number 4, which is the draft Framework 19 document, as well as document number 5, which is a memo from the Scallop PDT regarding some of those outstanding issues that I mentioned before. So with that, when it's up on the screen, I'll get started with the presentation. Thanks. I want to just give a little background about this revised timeline in case we did send out some emails about why we needed to extend it, and I want to just give a little more background about that. Again, just to update everyone about the different alternatives that are summarized in document number 4. And lastly, to identify those few issues that we need to spend more time on. So the first slide is the timeline, and this is also document number 1 in your binder if you have trouble reading this one. It's really very straightforward. We've pushed back final decision roughly 5 weeks from today until October 25th. This will give the PDT and committee 5 additional weeks to continue developing and analyzing alternatives. One kind of nice benefit that's going to fall out of this delay is that we do now have the ability to use the most recent survey data from 2007. The cruises all really just came in August. And we are going to be able to incorporate that new information in this framework, which is going to be a benefit of this delay. Certainly, it's always useful to be able to use the most recent information that we can, not just from the Albatross, but from the other surveys conducted by SMAS and Virginia Institute of Marine Science. We'll be able to incorporate all of those into this framework. The other thing about this timeline to point out is the staff is going to hopefully submit the framework a little bit more quickly to help on the review end and speeding things up. So we do hope to have a very fast turnaround and submit the document in the first week of November, which will be roughly a week, so that's pretty fast. And NIMS also hopes to reduce their review time of this framework. The target implementation date is still March 1st, but people need to be aware that because of this five-week delay, there is a chance that we may not have it implemented in time by March 1st, although that is still what everyone is going to push for. Thanks. This is just a review of the different meetings we've had on Framework 19. Although it seems like we started this action a very long time ago, we did initiate it early to hope that we could do some development during some slower times of Amendment 11 development. So we initiated the action in November of 2006, but as you know, the committee was really focused on Amendment 11 for most of 2007. We took really a break from Framework 19 for most of the first half of 2007, submitted Amendment 11 on August 1st, and then now have been able to refocus on Framework 19, essentially really just the month of August, however. We have had some meetings in between to keep the ball rolling on Framework 19, but in terms of the PDT's real focus and the committee's commitment to developing alternatives, we really haven't done that until August. So that's where we are. We did have a scallop PDT meeting this week, Monday and Tuesday. Got a lot of work done, and hopefully we're still on track to have the advisors meet on October 10th to select preferred alternatives, and the committee would meet the following day to then forward the document to the council for the October 25th meeting. I just want to briefly summarize the overall purpose and need of Framework 19. There are, in general, three primary components of this action. The first one is to set specifications for the next two fishing years, and that would be March 1st, 2008, through the end of the 2009 fishing year. There's a lot of things that go into this, but the primary components are setting the annual days at sea, allocations for open areas, as well as the allocations for the access area program for both fisheries, general category and limited access. Now, as a result of Amendment 11 and its potential implementation, there are some new requirements, if they are approved, that this action will have to include based on decisions that the council put forward in Amendment 11. For example, if all of these different aspects are approved, this framework will have to include the specifics of what the hard tack quarterly tack would be for the general category fishery. If you recall, for the transition period to limited entry, the council recommended a quarterly hard tack. So the details of that program will have to be in this framework. Also, for after the transition period, when it's an individual fishing quota program, the requirement of the cost recovery program will also have to be spelled out in this framework. So we have been working on both of these things, again, assuming that they're approved in Amendment 11. We also have to define a hard tack for the Northern Gulf of Maine program. If that's approved, this framework would have to include what that actual hard tack is for the next two fishing years. And lastly, if you recall, we decided to recommend that an incidental catch mortality be removed from the top total projected catch. So the PDT's working on coming up with what that estimated mortality would be and actually removing it from available catch to the limited access and general category fisheries. So these are all new things that we don't normally do in biennial frameworks as a result of the decisions made in Amendment 11. There are a few other issues that have come up, either raised by the industry or other ways in terms of things that should be included in this framework. There are also several others that were considered and rejected. The ones that are still in the document would be several adjustments to the industry-funded observer program. If you recall, when we were working on Amendment 13 to the SCAL plan, several issues with the current program were identified. And this framework, the council decided to kind of delay working on those until the next action, which is this framework. So there are two specific alternatives in the document to address some of the issues that came up several months ago. There's also a 30-day VMS power down provision that was recommended to be considered from the industry and as well as the committee. And lastly, in light of the new scallop assessment that was just completed, that Dr. Weinberg just went through, there are some potential issues we should consider in terms of revising the current overfishing definition and reference points in this framework. And I'll get to all of these issues later in the presentation. Very quickly, the no action and status quo, to give you an idea, if this framework is not approved and implemented, the measures under no action from the 2007 fishing year would roll over. Vessels would be allocated for full-time 51 open area days, one trip in Nantucket Lightship, one trip in Closed Area 1. The Hudson Canyon area would reopen, and vessels would be allocated three trips in Elephant Trunk, and the Delmarva area would remain closed. We're also going to have to analyze an alternative for no action for all of Amendment 11. If the agency disapproves the entire amendment, we will, in this framework, also have to include a discussion of the impacts and so forth of if that occurs. Status quo is pretty similar to no action, except it's not exactly a rollover of measures. It's more designed that the PDT would recommend measures to meet a specific overall objective in terms of a fishing mortality rate for the fishery overall. And we don't really need to get into too much more at this point for this stuff. The next slide describes the measures that this framework will have to consider if, in fact, it's not in place in time by March 1st. Originally, we didn't have to think about this. The plan was to have it implemented by March 1st. Because of this delay and the need for more time to work on this action, the document now will also have to include a discussion and analysis of what would be needed if, in fact, it was not in place in time by March 1st. So the PDT has identified a list of specific things that could be considered or should be considered to address the fact that it could be implemented after March 1st. In the PDT memo, which is document number 5, you'll see the first issue highlighted in that memo describes what the different measures that should be considered in order to address the fact that it may not be implemented in time for March 1st. Very quickly, in general, it just has to do with any effort that's taken before the framework is implemented that would be deducted at a later time, most likely the following fishing year or a following quarter in terms of the general category hard tack. The last, so there's four different bullets related to that issue in the memo. There is one that's not identified, an additional one on your memo, but I would like to raise it. It's something that came up at the PDT meeting yesterday that we overlooked. Another minor thing that shouldn't be included is, of course, if the Northern Gulf of Maine area is approved and there are landings in that area in March before this framework is implemented, any landings that do come out of that area would count against TAC when it is finally implemented. So we just wanted to add that, so there would actually be five items related to this issue. Next slide. So the rest of the document, once we get through kind of all of the no actions and things we have to do in case things aren't implemented in time, is to go through the general issues that are always in the biennial frameworks. And starting with the specifications for the limited access fishery, going through the framework document starting on page 13, in general, this is very straightforward. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it today. This section will include the overall allocations for the Georges Bank areas under the different scenarios that we are going to consider. There is still going to be a yellowtail flounder bycatch tack, and different compensations will be awarded for vessels if the area does close. For yellowtail tack being reached, vessels would be allowed to fish in open areas at a reduced level. Just very quickly, from our meeting earlier this week, it looks as though for fishing year 2008, the areas that would probably open would be Nantucket Lightship for one trip only, and in 2009, one trip in Closed Area 2. So most likely, based on the recent projections, it looks as though there will be only one Georges Bank access area trip for both years. And that's pretty much what the biomass would support. Moving on to Hudson Canyon, this discussion has been at all levels, from the advisory panel to the PDT and committee. We've talked about this a bunch so far, but just a little bit of background. The Hudson Canyon area opened in 2001. For limited access area trips in that area, it's been opened through 2005. And there were suboptimal trips taken in the 2005 fishing year. And if you recall, under Framework 18, the last biennial framework, the council recommended that any unused trips that were allocated in 2005, the vessels would be permitted to use those unused trips in the following two fishing years. So that would be 2006 and 7. At the end of the 2007 fishing year, about 15 million pounds were allocated to the fishery in 2005. Based on the most recent estimate we have from the meeting yesterday, it looks as though about 2 million pounds are still left unharvested in this area from the program of unused trips. So this document is considering several alternatives about what to do with these still unused trips for this area. Just so you know, about 2 million pounds is roughly equal to about 116 trips, to give you an idea of how many are still left. Probably somewhere in 900 to 1,000 trips were actually allocated, and that's how many are left. So the document's going to consider the no-action alternative, which would be that those unused trips would expire after February 28, 2008. That would be the end of the fishing year. The other alternative would be that any unused trips could be used at a reduced level in either open areas or the elephant trunk area. And it does. I do have a star here to see the PDT memo issue number 2. The committee, when we talked about this earlier in August, we didn't identify the deadline, and this is very straightforward, and it would just be useful for council input to know if the idea would be that these vessels could use these trips through the next fishing year or the next two fishing years. Just so you know, the PDT recommendation would be just through the next fishing year, not to just keep extending these trips on and on. The last alternative would be to extend the use of the unused trips through the end of May. So it would just be a three-month extension. It wouldn't go into any further than that into the next fishing year. So these are the different alternatives under consideration. Again, we're not going to really get into today which one is preferred at this point. There's been input on all sides, really, related to this topic. In terms of the elephant trunk area, a little background. This area opened in 2007, and this framework will have to include the specific allocations for fishing years 2008 and 2009. The area is expected to open for 5 years total. The reopening date, the PDT discussed and the committee agreed we were not going to revisit the start date. We went through this with the last, if you recall, emergency action for the elephant trunk area that the area should open in March. So right now, that's how the document reads. There's no other alternatives for the start date. The document also includes the same seasonal closure to minimize interactions with sea turtles. This is the same as it was in Framework 18, and it would maintain that from September 1st to October 31st, the area would be closed to minimize impacts with sea turtles. And in addition, a notice action procedure, the PDT recommends, also be included for this fishing year, for the next two fishing years, that if the biomass is lower than projected, that the number of trips could be reduced. If you recall, that was something included in Framework 18 as well. In terms of the Delmarva area, this area was closed in 2007 on January 1st. It's just south of the elephant trunk area, and it is expected originally when it was closed that it would open in 2010. In general, the area is closed for 3 years and then they reopen. But recent biomass projections from this area actually suggest that it could support some fishing effort in 2009, which would be in this framework, 1 year earlier than originally thought. A lot of this is in light of some new growth information that's been used for the Mid-Atlantic, suggesting that the scallops in that region grow faster than they do on Georges Bank. And most of the scenarios the PDT is running are going to suggest that this area open for one trip in 2009. The PDT does recommend that the same precautionary seasonal closure be considered to reduce interactions with sea turtles during the same time period, since these areas are very close together in the Mid-Atlantic, as well as the same notice action procedure that was used for the elephant trunk. There's a little more background on that in terms of the PDT memo, basically urging the committee and council to consider adding that into the framework. I mentioned in the beginning that there are a few other restrictions that are being considered in this framework, not directly related to the allocations of a fishing effort. One would be to revisit the restriction on the number of crew. Under Framework 18, the Council recommended that the number of crew maximum be eliminated. There used to be a 7-man crew maximum for vessels fishing in the scallop fishery, and in Framework 18, that restriction was lifted for access area trips only. So currently, a limited access vessel can go into the access areas with an unlimited number of crew. The PDT and advisors suggested that this be revisited in this framework and potentially keep that maximum at 8 or 9 crew member. And the idea would be to allow some additional crew to improve safety and training for training purposes for new crew. But the idea of it being completely eliminated was more excessive than most of the advisors felt was necessary. So the PDT is evaluating whether or not this could have issues potentially with the elephant trunk area if vessels have in fact been going in there with, you know, 10 crew and things like that. So far we're not really seeing that, so people are not taking advantage of this elimination of crew anyway, over 8 or 9 crew. The other issue is prohibition on deck loading. This would be that a vessel could not leave an access area with more than 50 bushels of scallop on deck, and this is pretty widely supported by everyone to include this prohibition for all access area trips, and that's being considered in the framework. Next, we get to open area days at sea. Once we finally get through all the decisions about how much effort should be allocated to each access area, then the number of open area days at sea is determined based on reaching an overall level of fishing mortality of 0.2 for the entire fishery. So just to give you background, in 2007, about 51 full-time vessels received in the full-time fleet received 51 days for open areas. Based on the estimates we were looking at this week at the PDT, we are expecting a moderate reduction in open area days at sea for both the 2008 and 2009 fishing year. But again, all of these will be presented at the next council meeting with details about how many days at sea and so forth. Okay, so that's the limited access fishery. Getting into general category fishing measures, I mentioned in the beginning that we will have to include some new alternatives in this based on Amendment 11. The first one would be the details of the quarterly hard tack for the transition period. Just a reminder, the council recommended that this be 10%, actually, of the total available catch for the 2008 fishing year. The committee discussed some issues about derby fishing in light of some derby fishing that we've seen from the general category fishery in recent access area programs in particular, a concern of, you know, when 10% of that is allocated to the general category fishery, are we going to have derby fishing situations in the access areas? The advisors suggested a few different alternatives, but ultimately, and you can read in the committee meeting summaries for more background, ultimately the committee felt that some of them would be too restrictive on vessels that direct on scallops for general categories, so they didn't include most of them. The one that they did include would be for the interim period, general category vessels would only be allocated 2% of the catch per access area. And the committee recognized that this would still mean there would be a derby for 2%, but the idea was the less you allocate in these high dense areas, the less derby effects you'll have, and it will be 2% versus 10%. So the idea there would be that it would just reduce that derby fishing for those areas. Fishing year 2009, I mentioned we are going to have to include the details of a cost recovery program. This is new for this region. The PDT has been working with other regions within National Marine Fisheries Service that have cost recovery programs. We're relying mostly on the tilefish plan, which is under development now, for ideas. And we are going to be bringing to the next committee meeting a more detailed description of a cost recovery alternative, pretty much mirrored after the tilefish program. So that's the news on that. In terms of the Northern Gulf of Maine hard tack, I mentioned we are going to have to define that. The PDT has pretty much finally come to an actual number for this, and we will be presenting that to the committee at our next meeting, as well as an estimate of mortality from incidental catch. In terms of the general category fishery and what they would be allocated in access areas on Georgia's Bank, the document includes a few different alternatives for this. One would be a 2% allocation in fleet-wide trips in each area, in whatever area is open that year. Another alternative would be 5% for any area, whatever is open that particular year. But the advisors discussed that allocating 5% of the catch for closed area 2, for example, as we've learned in recent programs, it's never harvested, or very, very little of it is. So there's one alternative that would actually allocate 0% of the catch in closed area 2 to the general category fishery, and instead the general category fishery would receive those landings just in open areas, for example, and they would each have more catch in that area instead of closed area 2. Then it was also raised that an alternative should be considered that a small amount should be allocated for closed area 2 for groundfish vessels that may be participating in any SAP programs in that area to give them some ability to land general category scallops while they're on those trips. Honestly, for 2009 is the only year that closed area 2 would be open for this program. And from talking with Tom Neese, it doesn't even seem that there's going to be much SAP activity in closed area 2. But the PDT will come up with what that small percentage should be for that alternative in case there is some activity in the area. The next bullet, could just go back a second. The last bullet on that page is a new alternative that was added to the document at the last committee meeting. And this would be, as Amendment 11 left it in 2009, general category vessels will receive an individual fishing quota, and they will be permitted to fish for that quota in any area that's basically available to them, either in open areas or in access areas before the hard tack is reached. Now, there was some discussion during Amendment 11, as well as more recently on this framework, about actually instead of allocating fleet-wide trips for access areas, that general category vessels should instead receive an individual allocation in pounds for each area. So, for example, in 2009, vessels would receive quota for open areas, and they would also receive a specific quota based on their history for closed area 2, for example, as well as elephant trunk, because most likely those will be the areas open in 2009. We've had a lot of discussion about this alternative to date. Some issues have been identified with it, and there have been benefits and cons with everything, so I just want to go over a few of those and show you a few examples. Thanks. These tables are also in the Framework 19 document, and they were prepared to give the committee a sense of examples of how this individual fishing quota by area would actually work. And these are based on, you know, they're not final numbers because we don't know the actual catch projected for each area yet, but they are based on, you know, kind of real numbers. So, for example, for general category qualifiers, we're looking at an average allocation of about 6,650 pounds. So under Amendment 11, a vessel on average for that fleet would be allocated that amount, and they could then go and catch it however they can in areas that are open. This alternative would change that, and instead of the vessel being allocated 6,550 pounds, they would instead be allocated 3,377 pounds to fish in open areas, 1,033 pounds in Nantucket Lightship, and, for example, 2,140 pounds in Elephant Trunk. And really what that's doing is just breaking down that the average vessel is going to receive 0.27% of all the general category allocation, and that percentage is applied to each area that's open. So that actual vessel would receive 0.27% of the general category catch by area. And this is all based on a total catch of 50 million pounds and the fishery getting 5%, so 2.5 million pounds. These are just to illustrate the maximums and minimums, and don't forget the limited access vessels that qualify for a general category permit would be treated the same way, and these vessels would then also potentially, if it's included in this document, receive an allocation by area in pounds. Now, the idea at the committee level was that this would provide an opportunity for vessels to trade and sell access in different areas. But after the meeting, a couple issues have come up, and we should probably try to work through them if people want to still develop this alternative. The next slide gets into, if you'll see in the PDT memo, the PDT has tried to illustrate a few of the potential issues with this alternative in issues number 4 and 5 before you in document number 5. Very quickly, in general, the background on this development of this alternative is the PDT, for the most part, is not supportive of including this in Framework 19. It's not that they're not supportive of IFQs by area. It's that Framework 19 is going to include IFQs for just fishing year 2009, and there are issues that still need to be worked out, and getting them all in this framework could be problematic. There is definitely, though, some advisory panel support for exploring this issue further. I would say it's probably fair to say a handful of the advisors we have are supportive of it, and most didn't really have strong opinions. The committee discussion was also kind of mixed. There was a motion to first reject this alternative because of all the development and analysis that would be needed, but ultimately that was then withdrawn, and others felt that in the spirit of individual transferable quotas and area rotation, we should be allocating effort on an area basis to each vessel. So the document, the committee decided to leave it in. Since the committee meeting, the PDT has been thinking more about this alternative, and one issue that we would have to clarify before we can really go any further is that Amendment 11 is very specific and says that a vessel is not allowed to break apart their allocation, and basically they have to sell or lease their entire allocation as a package. Under this scenario, I think how the committee was probably leaning is that, well, if I don't want to fish my elephant trunk allocation, I'll lease that to someone who does. Technically, in Amendment 11, I don't believe you'd be able to do that unless something was changed in this framework. So first, I think we'd have to find out if we can actually make that change in a framework. And second would be, if we can't, then vessels would be faced with having to lease or sell their entire allocation, even though it's area-specific, to another vessel that way. So that's just, I think, the first issue we have to get through. The other one on the second bullet here would be, would the quota per area be limited to only an annual transfer, sell, or lease? And again, I haven't made this specific because the committee really didn't say whether they thought this should be a transfer or a lease or a sale. And this bullet is trying to illustrate that if in 2009 you want to purchase close area 2 quota, for some reason, what happens at the end of that year when it isn't open? Or do we have this available? Basically, should it be limited to 1 year or not? These are just issues the committee hasn't thought about yet, and we'd have to iron out before we can go further with this alternative. The next one would be, are there any additional burdens for monitoring an IFQ per area per vessel that the council should know about or not? And lastly, would the allocation by area require consideration of compensation if an area closes due to the yellowtail tack being reached? And what that bullet means is right now, if closed area 1 or Nantucket Lightship or closed area 2 close because the yellowtail tack is reached, right now limited access vessels are permitted to use open area days at sea for compensation if, for example, the area closes before they get to take their trip. If we go down this path and allocate an actual allocation to a general category vessel and the area closes, for example, before they've been able to catch their quota, do we want to consider a similar compensation to those vessels that we have for the limited access fishery? Again, these are just a few of the things that people we've been thinking about since development and inclusion of this alternative, and really they would have to be ironed out before we can proceed further. Just a few more slides here, and then we can get into discussing if people want to address some of these outstanding issues. The general category fishery In terms of the other access areas, the document now recommends that whatever is decided with the Hudson Canyon area in terms of it becoming an open area or potentially closing to protect young scallops that have been found in that area, that should also apply to the general category fishery. Right now, the general category fishery is actually permitted to fish in the Hudson Canyon area, even though the limited access fishery is not, unless they have unused trips left. The elephant trunk area, the same measures would apply to the general category fishery, and the same for Delmarva. The overfishing definition I won't spend a lot of time on because I think Dr. Weinberg really covered it all. But in light of that new assessment and basically as a result of it, this framework should consider, and the committee has already agreed to include it, basically a revision of the units used for the biomass reference point. And if you recall from his presentation just this morning, there is a new model that was used and tested and approved in the assessment, and the assessment workshop members recommend that it be used, and it produces more accurate results. And it seems as though in the regulations what we'd actually have to change would be the actual biomass reference point in terms of the units used. So instead of a kilograms per tow, as Dr. Weinberg explained, we would be using metric tons of scallop meats as the reference point for the biomass reference point. So that is pretty straightforward and based on the recommendations of the assessment panel. The next step, if you would just turn to table 12 on page 28 in the framework document. I should have put this right in the presentation, but there is a table there on document number 4 is the framework document. And table 4 on page 28 is a comparison of essentially what Dr. Weinberg just went through this morning, and it shows you the different targets and thresholds based on the old and new models used in the assessment. And if you go with the committee's recommendation to use the new CASA model for fishing mortality and biomass reference points, the fishing mortality threshold would go from 0.24 under the old method to 0.29. Now, the Magnuson Act mandates that the FMP have a target that's below this threshold, but the Magnuson Act is not specific about how far below it should be from the threshold. So that's a policy decision by the council, and it would be a useful thing for people to think about today, would be that even though we have this new threshold based on this new model that increases from 0.24 to 0.29, do we want to revisit our target or keep it the same, which would be 0.20? The PDT's recommendation is to leave it the same. And the reason being not to just be overly precautionary, the specific reasons are that this model and this assumption is based on a uniform mortality rate across the resource. And we know in the scallop fishery in particular, that's not the case at all. We have areas that are completely closed, no fishing's permitted for many years, it's been the case, and then we have areas that are fished at higher levels. So in the scallop fishery example, we know that this is not uniform mortality. So the PDT recommends to recognize that and to also help prevent localized overfishing, which there is the threat of that under the program that we're using, that we should use a lower target. And the PDT recommendation basically is to still have all of our management allocations and so forth to be set at that 0.2 level. So that's the recommendation there. The committee, just so you know, we discussed this a little bit, but the committee members wanted to wait to hear the presentation today. The report wasn't final when we had our last meeting. And so the committee actually didn't weigh in on whether or not they wanted to recommend the same target or something higher than that in light of the new reference point. But that's as far as the committee got on it since the report wasn't really final yet. Okay, a few more slides. The other issues that are included in this framework is really just a summary of the SBRM amendment. The reason we have that in there is it is, I think Pat mentioned this morning, final rule this fall sometime, so we will have better indication maybe by the time we just take final action on this on the status of the amendment. But in general, there is a section included in here on page 30 that just describes in general what is being proposed in that amendment and how it affects basically the observer program for the scallop fishery. In general, it doesn't affect it very directly. It's a lot of it is similar to how things are done now, but we do have some tables including recommended levels of observer coverage and what's expected. And the reason we included it is to show that the current observer set-aside program in the scallop fishery is expected to be able to cover the costs of the most likely what the needed level of coverage would be for the scallop fishery, even in light of the SBRM amendment being approved. The next thing would be improvements to the specific aspects of the observer set-aside program. Again, two very specific things are considered in this document, starting on page 33. The first one we heard during the Amendment 13 process, that some vessels, particularly ones with lower catch abilities, were bearing very high costs for carrying an observer, and they were not making enough money to cover the cost of carrying that observer. So there's one alternative in here that would actually consider a higher compensation rate for vessels fishing in open areas compared to access areas. We didn't want to get into the real specifics of getting into fishing power per vessel. So instead, we also heard that vessels that are fishing in low-catch areas are having a harder time with this. So if we use a higher compensation rate for that, hopefully it will cover the costs better than they are being covered now. The other idea is that the agency raised, through the observer program, some small administrative adjustments that could be made to the current program. And currently, the observer office and the regional office are working together to present those finally to the committee. But in general, they're very small changes that would just help the program run a little more efficiently. So in summary, the last slide shows the few issues. I get to go the other way. Oh, sorry. I skipped the slide. Thank you. Thought I was finished. There are a few more other issues in the framework being considered, and that is to close areas to protect small scallops. The PDT, as I mentioned, met yesterday and the day before. We reviewed the new 2007 information, and there are two areas that are showing up as kind of hot spots for recruitment based on the 2007 data, and the PDT is recommending that the committee consider them for closure. So in 2008, the areas would close and become part of the area rotation program to then reopen several years from now. We're going to review these boundaries with the advisors, and just to give you a sense of what's to come later, it looks as though one of the areas is in the general Hudson Canyon area now, and another one is in the South Channel, kind of abutting right up to closed area one. The last few measures that this document's considering that I mentioned before would be a 30-day VMS power down provision for vessels that do not plan to fish for a minimum of 30 days. They would be permitted to turn their VMS units, power them down. And lastly would be a clarification on when a vessel can leave on an access area trip. This is something the agency asked us to consider in this framework because they've been having some questions that have come up in terms of when a vessel can actually leave on an access area trip. So the committee agreed to include these other measures as well. Last slide. Thank you. So that's very quickly the breadth of all the different alternatives that are being considered currently in the framework. Again, this last slide just illustrates the few outstanding issues that the PDT has highlighted that the council could discuss today or leave for the next committee meeting. Again, just the longer that we delay these decisions, it just becomes more difficult to get a full package to the council for October 25th. I think many of them are very straightforward in terms of just clarifying some of the issues, and some of them are a little more involved. Again, they're all listed in the PDT memo, except for the last one, the fishing mortality target issue that I went through before. And that concludes my presentation.
Dave, do you have anything else?
Nope, just if anyone had any questions for Deidre or myself.
Any questions? Anyone in the audience? Ron?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ron Smolowitz, Fisheries Survival Fund. I'm wondering whether the PDT considered access to closed area one, but at lower trip levels, because I was just in that area a week or so ago, and the place is loaded with large scallops. Now, it might not be enough for 300 trips at 18,000 pounds, but it'd certainly be a shame not to harvest those over the next 2 years. It would be a major loss of yield. I just think that there needs to be some access into closed area one, even if it's a reduced trip limit or some sort of allocation of, amongst the fleet between which area they could go into. Is the PDT considering this?
The PDT did briefly talk about it at a few meetings, and the preliminary work looks as though the area would not support trips definitely at 18,000 pounds. The final number isn't available yet, hopefully by the end of this week or Monday, to confirm if a lower possession limit could actually be considered. But I do think the PDT was leaning toward recommending Nantucket Lightship for 2008 and closed area 2 for 2009. And then by then, the idea, basically there's plenty of resource in there if the EFH boundary issue for closed area 1 could be reconciled. And if, in fact, rather than the smaller area that the scallop fishery can access now under Phase 2 of the EFH Omnibus Amendment, if they could clarify or revisit that issue then, it would be a much more effective opening at that time rather than now.
Okay. I'm not exactly sure how the process works, but it would seem to me that we definitely should have access in the next 2 years into that area at a lower catch rate, or else those, I mean, the average size of those scallops were, they were U10s, and they were 130 millimeters in shell size. They might not be there in 3 years, and it would be a total waste not to have access into this area. So I definitely think the council should have the PDT consider access into that area. And for example, I would think we would be better off, instead of having an 18,000-pound trip into the lightship area, is to have a tradable 9,000-pound trips into closed area one and into the lightship area if the resource could support 9,000-pound trips, for example, or divide 18,000-pound trips between the two areas. But it would be really mismanagement not allowing access into that area because it can't support 350 18,000-pound trips. It definitely needs to be access in there.
Maggie.
Maggie Raymond, Associated Fisheries of Maine. These issues that the PDT has raised about the option for the IFQ, individual allocation of pounds per area rather than number of trips. I'm wondering, aren't these some of these in some way also the same kind of questions you would ask regarding the allocation of trips to areas, given that some people don't go into access areas at all, some people would not go into, say, the elephant trunk area. I mean, aren't they still going to end up, if you give allocation of trips, with potentially not being able to use all of their IFQ?
I just want to clarify so there isn't confusion. The document isn't considering that we would allocate a number of trips or pounds to individuals in that area. The difference is that we would either, under no action, allocate a fleet-wide total number of trips that any general category qualifier could take a trip if they wanted, how it is done now. Basically, now there's 800 trips in Elephant Trunk, and whatever vessel qualifies could use those if they want, but they don't have to. That's no action. Under this alternative, it would be that the vessels would actually receive a certain poundage based on their history per area. So they would be allocated a specific poundage for the elephant trunk area, for example, and what they do with that is up to them. They either fish it, decide not to bother, or try to trade it or sell it.
Anyone else? Vito?
Vito Calamo, Executive Director of the Massachusetts Fishery Recovery Commission. We also support a boat open up Area 1 to some kind of fishing. We see that there's a tremendous amount of waste happening on the sea floors. With the research done from SMAS, that there are an abundance of large starfish that are seem to be killing the scallops, and some are dying of old age. There's more clappers on the seafloor than ever in any time recorded. That's number one. Number two, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to speak about crew size. I'd like that to be an option for the owners or captains of a vessel to actually increase their crew size by at least a couple of people. And it's not for the harvest of scallops. It's for the safety issue. They have got adjusted to using smaller crews because it's mandatory to use smaller crews. But they're pushing the limit sometimes when there are abundances of scallops that they catch in a shorter period of time, and the work is stressful on the crews. And this would provide a golden opportunity for more employment, especially in the area of New Bedford, where we have high unemployment, and there are skilled laborers as far as being in the fishing industry, and this would help. And I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you, Mr. Chairman.
Greg DiDomenico.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Council Members. Greg DiDomenico, Garden State Seafood Association. Just one very quick question. We were looking at, and perhaps I could just ask the staff as well. We were looking at the 3.0, the considered and rejected alternatives in this amendment, and specifically 3.1.3, which would eliminate the single dredge restriction in access areas for vessels that were part-time and upgraded to full-time single dredge permits. We were wondering, or perhaps requesting, if in fact an analysis could be done to determine if in fact that was not going to be conservation neutral, and what exactly would the impact be on the resource or the landings. We were hoping that there would be a little bit more of a fleshing out of the rationale for why this has been rejected. So perhaps if staff is able to do that, that would be our request. And again, just to determine if, in fact, this would not be conservation neutral. Thank you very much.
I'll answer if I can. I think the rationale for rejection in terms of the discussion around this alternative wouldn't really need further fleshing out. It wasn't so much a conservation neutral issue as much as a equity issue in terms of trade-offs that were made in decisions that vessels either got a part-time permit or they didn't. In terms of doing the analysis I think you're requesting, no, the PDT will not spend any time analyzing rejected alternatives.
Thank you.
Okay, back to the council. Paul?
Mr. Chairman, my two biggest concerns to have a completed document by October 25th are for the council to address whether you want to use the 0.20 as your reference point for management for 2008 and 9. So I think the council should deliberate on that. And the second thing is, do you want to continue with the individual quota per area and individual bycatch? So if you could, bycatch of yellowtail. So if the council could deliberate on those three, it would really help us have a document ready for prime time even before October 25th, because the committee should see the completed document so they can vote the preferred alternatives. Is that correct, Dee? And when is that?
October 10th is the advisors the same, and October 11th would be the full package for the committee, so a week before that to send it to them.
So
early October.
Depending on the direction, you know, I really am doubtful if we're going to have a completed document unless you give some specific direction on what reference point to use for management, 0.20 or go to something else. And the other thing is, do we have time to really put in place the IFQ by area and an IFQ of yellowtail bycatch too?
Dave?
Yeah, to some of that and other outstanding issues that the PDT points out in document number 5, I have a few motions that I think Karen has. The first, if she gets it up, is to include an alternative in Framework 19 that would consider specific measures if the framework is not in place by March 1, the beginning of the fishing year. And they are identified on the front page of Document 5, the PDT report. So this is a motion from myself, not from the committee. It does need a second.
Seconded by Rip Cunningham.
Okay. And it would be specifically that if the framework is not implemented in time, that any limited access open area days at sea used in 2008 above the ultimate allocation in 2008 would be reduced in the following fishing year, which would be 2009. Any general category elephant trunk area trips taken in 2008 above the ultimate allocation for 2008 will be deducted from the following fishing year. And if the council ultimately selects to allocate more than 2% of access in the elephant trunk, then those additional trips could be allocated whenever Framework 19 is implemented. And if the general category quarterly hard tack for quarter one, March 1 through May 31, is exceeded, then those pounds will be removed in quarter three and or quarter four, because it does take some time to do some accounting. There. The Hudson Canyon would reopen as an open area, and any fishing expected to take place in that area starting March 1 of 2008 would have to be considered. That's just a sort of an informational point. There really wouldn't be a way to pay back that year because the expectation is it would be closed in the following year. So that would be just an issue that, you know, to keep in mind if we do have a delay in implementation of Framework 19. And the additional point that Deirdre made during her presentation, if the northern Gulf of Maine area is approved and Framework 19 is delayed, then the overage, of course, would have to be subtracted in 09 in that area as well. So that's the first motion.
Discussion? Questions? In the audience. Back to the council. Ready for the vote? All those in favor, please raise your hand. Unanimous, 13 in favor. Dave, you have anything else?
Yeah, I have a few more. For alternative 2.3.2.3, unused Hudson Canyon trips could only be used at a reduced level in other areas to the end of fishing year 2008. If you remember from Deirdre's presentation, that was left unspecified.
Is there a second? Seconded by Rick Cunningham. Discussion? Anyone on the council? Audience? Oh, sorry, Dr. Pierce.
Yeah, regarding the motion, David, that is the second issue described in the Scarlet Plan Development Team memo to us, the one dated August 30th. Okay, Okay, you do address it in the motion. There was a question or two questions in that. In that section. All right. You've addressed it then. Thank you.
Most of the council. The audience, Ron.
Ron Smallwood's Fishery Survival Fund. I just want to understand this motion. This is saying, now, right now, the trips have to be taken by the end of February 2008. This is allowing a vessel that doesn't take those trips to fish anywhere at a reduced level decided by Framework 19.
Yeah, it would add an alternative that would an alternative to do that.
Okay. Fisheries Survival Fund is adamantly opposed to this amendment. It'll add a lot of controversy, a lot of additional analysis, a lot of work, and it'll certainly delay Framework 19. Out of the original 900 to 1,000 trips that were allocated, only 100 have not been taken. They certainly have adequate time to take it like the rest of the fleet by the end of February. This is tremendously unfair to those that have abided by the agreement we made 2 years ago, that we had two additional years to take the trips, and I could go on and on. There is no justification for this. The scallops, I had made 5 trips in the past 6 months into that area. We landed 10-20s, 20-30s. There are a lot of small scallops outside. This is just wrong. It should not be done. It's going to stall the framework, and we are totally opposed to this.
Dee?
I just don't want people to be confused. This is not adding an alternative. On page 18, this alternative is already in the document. The committee approved inclusion of 3 different alternatives that were recommended by the advisors. Granted, there has not been one voice of the advisors on this issue. It is one of the issues in this framework that people are divided on. Again, the different alternatives that are in the document already would be no action, as Ron was just suggesting, that come the end of February, all trips expire. Or this alternative would be that in either for the next 1 or 2 fishing years, it was not specific. That's all the PDT is asking for, is for this motion to be specific if it's 1 year extension or 2. And that's all that this motion is doing. And just to clarify, this alternative is limited to either those unused trips at a reduced amount. Again, the PDT is looking at it in the ballpark of 5 or 6 days, not a full allocation. 5 or 6 days in either option A would be open areas, or option B would be elephant trunk. So they couldn't be used anywhere. It would be specific to those options that the council would have to select later.
Okay. Frank, did you? Okay. Dr. Pearson.
Yeah, back to that issue, Deidre, just to make sure I understand. Ron was quite adamant on this issue regarding his suspicion that if it's in here, it results in more analyses, more time, and he suspected a delay would occur. From what I hear from you, he's misunderstanding this, correct? That would not be a problem. This particular option would not require the sorts of analyses that would in some way delay this framework?
No, this does require more analyses, but the PDT has been prepared since August. The committee included this then. This isn't changing it. It will require more analyses. We'd have to determine, what kind of impact transferring this effort from what was to be taken in the Hudson Canyon to another area. We have started looking at it already. This is something we've been preparing for.
Who else on the council?
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion to substitute that this alternative be removed from the framework. If I get a second, I'll speak.
There's a second. Seconded by Jim Salisbury. Pat?
Yeah. We don't think this is a particularly good idea and don't support this alternative at all, so I can't see just refining it and then having the PDT and the staff spend the time analyzing it. We've already extended the Hudson Canyon area opportunity. This gives the impression that people are sort of guaranteed trips when we don't want to be giving that impression. And then for all the reasons that Ron raised as well, is just not a particularly good idea.
Anyone on the council wish to speak against the motion to substitute? Okay. Ready for the vote? All those in favor of the motion to substitute, please raise your hand. 13. Unanimous. Okay, now we've got to vote again because it's now the motion. All those in favor, please raise your hand. 13. Unanimous. The motion carries. Dave, you got something else?
Yep. The third is if the Delmarva Area opens in 2009, the same seasonal closure implemented to reduce potential interactions with sea turtles under Framework 18 for the elephant trunk area should also be considered for Delmarva, that is from September 1 to October 31. In addition, a similar notice action procedure should be considered if updated estimates suggest reduced effort is necessary.
Is there a second? Seconded by Terry Stockwell. Discussion? Pat?
I'm a little bit concerned about the provision that would close to protect sea turtles. Obviously, I'm interested in protecting sea turtles, but I'm concerned that this is a sort of a piecemeal approach to providing that protection in the Mid-Atlantic area. And one of the things one of the reasons that the agency hasn't directly pursued a lot of closures in that area is because, in fact, the turtles are pretty widely distributed and pretty uniformly distributed. On the area closure that we've got now that was proposed by the council, we were able to make the determination that, in fact, it wouldn't make the situation any worse, and it may improve protection for turtles. But as we add these areas, I think it may be more appropriate, as I said, to look at this sort of holistically and make sure that we're not picking the wrong area because it's opportunistic. So I just want to express that concern. And I'm not necessarily arguing that we should take it out at this point in the process. It may be worth looking at through analysis, but I do have some reservations.
Dick?
There was a bit of this discussion at the PDT level as well, and more informally and by email and so forth, to Pat's point that I just wanted to add to. I think the document should be very clear that this area is not designed to be a closure to protect sea turtles. That certainly, obviously wouldn't be the area that would be picked. We don't have the data to do that. This instead is an area that's a scallop area rotation area. We know there's going to be effort in there, and just adding on to what we did with elephant trunk, it's a measure that would more not directly protect sea turtles, but reduce the potential interaction of them, and we can word it so that it's very carefully does not give people the impression that this area boundaries were identified to protect sea turtles, because that definitely is not the main intent of this closure. It was a build off of ideas from Framework 18 as a way to reduce interaction.
Anyone else on the council? In the audience? Harriet?
I want to ask you something on what we just voted on. What did you just vote on the other one? Did you vote on what the chairman of the scallop committee put up, or did you vote on what Pat put up?
The decision from this council was to remove the ability to continue to save up and use your trips.
Did anybody second Pat's motion?
I believe so.
Did you go through the process on the second motion and give anybody a chance from the audience to speak?
I may not have.
I would ask that you do so. If you bring it up again, I would ask that we have an opportunity to speak.
Since you're here, why don't you speak about it?
Pardon?
Since you're here now, why don't you give me
I appreciate
your comment?
It. Those trips that you're given in the access areas or the opportune areas, 12 days were removed from open areas to receive those trips in closed areas. After Amendment 10, that's what happened. Prior to Amendment 10, there were access areas or opportune areas, however you want to say it. And if you wanted to go to them, it was an option. And if you did not want to, you could have 10 days outside. Following Amendment 10, that option was no longer available. When the trips were decided for the year, 12 days were taken from the open days so that you would have the trips for the trips that you were directed to in closed areas. To me, that's a quota. It's been spoken about. continually at the council, as we had a mixed. We had open days and we had quota days. When those days are not available and those scallops are not there to be caught, you then move to the 5-inch ring in December of 2005. When we got March of 2005, we were at the microphone in Portland saying it was difficult to get the trips. Now to take away those trips and not give people an opportunity to get them, I don't really see how you have a basis for that. People were promised those trips when it was moved. You kept them in Hudson Canyon because it was simple, and actually Hudson Canyon has been an open area since it was designated to 400-pound boats right along. So you had an open fishery in an area that you had designated other people to go to, and you gave them no choice to get their trip anywhere else. In 2005, had you had the option to go outside and get your trip, you could have easily gotten it. But that option wasn't there. And as soon as the 4-inch ring went in, it was very difficult to get the trip. There's 2 million pounds open, and it's being spoke about almost like people aren't going there and getting their trips because they don't want to. I don't know anybody fishing, any owner, any crew member, who if they can get a trip and get their money, it's part of their year's salary. Those three trips in Hudson Canyon were 3/5 of the allocated designated trips for that year. They'd go get their trips. I've had my boat down there. I called them home. Scallops are going through the rings, outside the rings, inside the rings. The product is small, and the PDT knows that. And there's a lot of broken trips that are comprising that 2 million pounds. And when I hear it said here that you shouldn't take it as it was a promise. It was a promise. It was a quota. And you've passed quotas here again. It's a quota in those areas. And the 4-inch ring, it's a hard time to catch it. The resource is smaller. You can't get your trip. And that's the only place you could go to get it. I see that as a basic policy problem when you say that. That poundage was not belonging to those people. And we haven't gotten the trips, because the forecasts obviously were not right. That is maybe acceptable. But to not hold responsibility for it, I find unacceptable. Thank you. I would ask that it's considered again and that it is an option. Thank you.
Ron, did you have your hand up? Nope. Okay. Back to the council. Does anyone wish to reconsider the previous vote? Mike.
In light of the public comment, can we reconsider that vote to take those trips?
Motion to reconsider.
Yeah, motion to reconsider.
Is there a second? We do have a motion on the board. We'll come back to that. The motion on the board, anyone on the council? Yes, sir.
Thank you. My name is James Gutowski from Barney at Light, New Jersey, owner of the Kathy Ann. There's been a lot of time to take those trips. I just believe that if they weren't taken, there was business decisions that supported that, and it should end. I support Ron's comments 100%.
On the council of the motion on the board. Ready for the vote? All those in favor, please raise your hand. opposed? Abstentions? One abstention. The motion carries 12-0. One abstention.
I have two more motions.
All right, Dave.
Okay. The next one is to include an alternative that would maintain the current fishing mortality target for overfishing at F equals 0.2.
Is there a second? Seconded by Mark Gibson. Discussion? Dr. Pierce.
All right, just a bit of a clarification. This is something Deidre perhaps can help me with. It's relevant to the motion, of course. In the draft framework on page 28, there is a listing of the fishing mortality rate threshold, no action, and then, of course, the proposed threshold of 0.29. based on the CASA, which is Portuguese for home. Anyways, I thought I'd mention that. Was anything presented at the presented by the review, the stock assessment review, that would have indicated what the target would be or could be? I'm still uncertain as to why we have a threshold suggested, an increase in the threshold suggested, but not an increase in the target. Can you explain why they didn't provide that, or maybe Jim?
I'll try first. Well, the identification of a target is not a scientifically driven decision. It's not something you would get from the scallop PDT to generate in that way. They can generate the threshold, and then the Magnuson Act requires that the council have a target some degree less than that, but it's not specific about how much less it should be. So it really is a policy decision about including issues of precaution and knowing the details of the assessment and how comfortable people are with how the measures are reaching your targets and staying below your thresholds. So we've had a target of 0.20 for some time. We've usually been over it almost, I think, every single year except for 2006. Because of the reasons I was explaining before about the fishing mortality not being uniform and being under area rotation, it's wise to definitely have the target lower than the threshold, definitely. It's really a policy decision about how much lower. I believe originally 0.20 is it 60% of the threshold? So a similar equation could be used for 0.29, which would bring you to somewhere around 0.24 or 0.23, could be considered, and we have discussed it informally, but really it's a policy decision, and the PDT feels strongly that to help prevent localized overfishing and to be sure that we are under this even higher threshold, we would maintain the 0.20 target. But in terms of that, I don't believe that the assessment workshop really got into this.
Okay, well, you clarified that for me. I couldn't recall whether our current target was a target generated by a previous assessment, and you're saying it was not. It was a policy call on the part of this council to go with that particular target.
That's what I understand to be.
Okay, well, thank you. And while I'm on this topic, I should point out that I believe that Section 2.6.3, the second paragraph, first sentence, is incorrect. I think you mean to say the fishing mortality target,
yeah, I did
not
catch
the biomass
that. Thank
target.
You. That okay. Should definitely read the fishing mortality target, not biomass target. Thanks.
I thought I missed something, and I guess I didn't.
Anyone else on the council? Anyone in the audience? Ron.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ron Smolowitz, Fisheries Survival Fund. This Fisheries Survival Fund supports this option. We realize this is conservative and that it restricts our catch, but we've been choosing the strategy of trying to go with a more stable fishery over the years and not necessarily maximize our individual landings in any particular year. As long as the council understands that this is a conservative strategy, and that someday in the future that we might have to examine it and change it. Thank you.
Anyone else in the audience? Back to the council. You ready for the vote? All those in favor, please raise your hand. Unanimous.
Okay. Let's see if we bat 1,000 here. Okay. The final motion is to remove section 2.4.3.1.3, the allocation of individual poundage per area to individual general category vessels equal to their individual contribution factor from Framework 19. I think Deidre covered pretty well all the complications and problems that really have not, we've not had time to work out for this framework. Keep in mind this is just, would really only affect 2009 anyway, and so the hope is that that this concept in time may prove to be the best way to go, but it's just not, it's not a fit for Framework 19 with Amendment 11 not allowing it and so forth.
Seconder was Terry Stockwell. Discussion? Anyone in the audience? Back to the council. You ready for the vote? All those in favor, please raise your hand. 12. Unanimous. Okay. Mike, before you make a motion, Dee, can you go, Karen, can you scroll back to that motion that was spoke about, the one with the Hudson Canyon trips? Dee, I'm on page 24 in the document. I think I'm in the right place. Actually, no, I switched pages, sorry. 18, page 18. Section 232.
Yes, that's the right page.
Okay. Can you, once again, run through the three alternatives that we have on this issue?
Sure. The first few paragraphs on that page are background about why we're discussing this in this action. The first one is no action, which would basically be any unused 2005 allocated trips for the Hudson Canyon area would expire. So after the end of the 2007 fishing year, which is February 28, 2008, those trips would expire and the area would revert back to an open area. There are other sections later in the document that consider reclosing that area or a similar area to protect another set of small scallops that have shown up there, but that's another issue. So no action is that the trips expire. The second alternative, the one that we're discussing, would be that vessels would be permitted to use those unused trips in either open areas or in the elephant trunk area, specifically option A or option B. The idea would be that it wouldn't be an even exchange, and vessels shouldn't expect that they would get 18,000 pounds for a full-time vessel, but they would get some fraction of that, and the PDT is looking at closer to about half, you know, 5 days, 6 days type of range. The last alternative that I'm glad we're recognizing that would still be in the document would be to extend the duration of those unused trips for 3 additional months. So any unused trips, we're estimating that to be around 116 full-time trips, could still be used through the end of May, through May 31st, 2008. So that would be the first 3 fishing months of fishing year 2008. And the background on that alternative was the idea that it would include 3 additional months when vessels are scallops are expected to grow and give vessels that much more time to decide what to do.
Thanks, Dee. Rip?
Just for clarification, we have the wrong alternative being removed as far as the numbers are up there on the, or we're removing 2.3.2.3. We should be removing 2.3.2.2. Correct?
Okay. Well, since there's a lot of discussion.
In other words, should we vote for rescinding it even though we wanted to do what we wanted to do?
Probably just to keep things clear and honest, we should do that, yeah. So, Gene, question for you. We had the wrong reference in the vote, yet the council passed it. How should we go about correcting that issue?
Well, you know, you can do it without objection just to correct the notes on that to reflect it. But if anybody would want to re-vote on it, then go ahead and let them do it. I mean, go ahead and do it.
Dave?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what Gene said, but it was the wrong number. I apologize for that. But behind the comma, it did describe the alternative that you were intending to vote on.
Is there objection to correcting the number? Is the council members aware of what they voted on despite the number difference? Yes? Okay. Mike?
Yeah, in light of the public comment, can we have a motion to reconsider that motion? I know I changed my vote. I know it was unanimous, but.
So you move to reconsider?
Please.
Is there a second? Motion to reconsider dies. Lack of a second. Thanks, Mike. Anything else, Dave?
No, just as always to thank Deirdre and Deborah and Demet and the rest of the PDT for all their continued hard work on this.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks, Dave. I think you have some more direction now. And we'll take final action on this in October on the 25th. Mark Gibson?
I thought the executive director had identified one other issue related to yellowtail bycatch that needed guidance. I missed something there.
My view is by voting on to remove the individual allocation by area, the yellowtail issue kind of goes away. That they'll simply have an allocation over a whole area. If that area closes, they go fish somewhere else.
Okay. So that concludes scallops. This is the open period for public comment. Anything